Well, y'all, my joy is full this morning. I'm so excited to welcome our guests, to have Edgar here with us and Jerry and Judy. My joy is full. My stomach is full after sharing a meal last night with our guests at the Webb's home. And I'm just so thrilled to take part in this. My own journey with compassion began years ago when I was getting kind of fed up with how Christmas just seemed to be so consumeristic in my own life. And I was tired of all the gifts I was getting and thinking about as the spirit of giving. And so Katie got me a sponsorship to a Compassion Child. My very first one, Diego's his name. He lives in Colombia. We get to write letters back and forth. And it's just amazing to think, when I think about Diego and the fact that we have Edgar here with us, of his future. And I enjoyed it so much that Katie actually, a few years later, got me another Compassion Child to sponsor. And it's been really a blessing for my life. And so we're just thrilled to have Edgar here. I want to invite you to come on up. And we have a true blessing this morning hearing about his story and his journey. And so I hope you all enjoy this as much as I know we will. Again, thank you so much for being here, Edgar. This first question is probably the most important one I'm going to ask you. We didn't get to talk about it last night, but are you a Packers fan by chance?
Well, I'm going to answer that question, but before we get to that, I sincerely want to say thank you to Rochelle Cumberland, to Megan, Kevin, the entire family, to you, Pastor Paul, for the warm welcoming and how well you guys have made me feel here. This feels like home, so this is a beautiful place, but even more than the place, the people are so warming, so the hospitality has been great. So thank you for giving me this opportunity. To answer your question, yes, I am a diehard Packers fan.
Good. You can stay, all right. I'm glad to hear that. I'm so glad to hear that. So, Edgar, I got a taste of hearing your story last night, but please, if you don't mind, tell us just a little about yourself and really about your life before the Compassion sponsorship came into be in your life.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to. So, I was born to a single teenage mother in a very small town of a rural area in the Dominican Republic. And while I don't have a lot of memories of my early life, there's still some memories that I have today. And that is, when I was about a toddler, my mother, pursuing a better life for the both of us, she moved with me to the capital of the Dominican Republic, Santo Domingo. And what I recall is that it was very challenging. We had many struggles because for nearly a year, we did not have a place where to stay. And we primarily were just crashing and bouncing from place to place, crashing at relatives, friends, acquaintances, some cases for as long as several weeks or just as short as overnight or whatever they would let us. And eventually, my mother was able to find a very small place for the both of us in one of the most dangerous, the poorest, violent and crime-filled neighborhoods in Santo Domingo. But that brought just a whole new set of challenges and struggle for us. The vivid memories that I have about that is the ongoing pressure and the stress that my mother had to endure for not knowing where our next meal was going to come from, and the constant threats from the landlord that we were going to be evicted, hurt not having a job and not being able to pay for it. So that went on for 2 years, and I'm about five, ready to go to elementary school, and my mother starts the process, but still single, still unemployed, is unable to come up with the cost of registration, uniform, school supplies, and a few other needs, and she reached out to my father for assistance, and only to be told by my father that if school required more than a notepad and a pencil, he was totally okay with me growing up illiterate. Let that sink in for just a moment. That was kind of the mindset of many fathers in the Dominican Republic. That frustrated my mother. That saddened me tremendously. But it even made her more determined that she was going to find a way of enrolling me in school. She started investigating and find out about this local church that had a private Christian school, which had a sponsor, a partnership with an international Christian organization called Compassion. And we went there to investigate. They took my photo, created a profile, and they vetted my mother. And I remember from that meeting, my mother with the center principal, she asked my mother questions and interviewed her. She paused and just looked at the both of us and got up and left. And we heard her say, "A child raising another child." And then she came back and say, "We're going to put you on a waiting list. We'll give some priorities to you because of the condition, single mother, unemployed, very poor neighborhood, the risk of me being forced into child labor, and all of that." 30 days later, we received the great news that a God-loving man from Florida, Mr. David Rayner, saw my compassion packet, picked it up, one just like this one, I'm assuming, and he decided to sponsor me, and that started the journey of me being released from poverty.
Wow. And I'm curious, and you spoke a little bit about this last night. For you, you got to go into the school and be a part of the compassion. But what about the friends and people you knew? What would their life, or how was their life different not being a part of compassion than yours, if that makes sense?
Yes, that's an important question, because being part of the compassion program isolated me from that for a portion of the day while I was in school. But when school ended, I went back to the neighborhood, and I still was able to see the rest of what was happening, especially on the weekends. The ones that did not go to the program, they were forced into child labor. So they were sent to the landfill to dig up scrap metal or anything that could be sold, to shine shoes in the streets, to clean windshields at the red lights for pennies, to be beggars, and some were even being trained as criminals to pickpocket or to steal or anything they could do to help the family. Mm. Eventually, many of them were victimized and became victimizers, and in my later years, many of them went to prison. Some of them even lost their lives. Mm. That was the contrast.
Yes. And what a vivid contrast that is. Tell us, we know that a huge, just an incredibly important part of the compassion sponsorship is not just the money that is sent, I mean, that is a huge portion, but also the relationship that you develop with your sponsor. Tell us about David, was his name correct? Tell us about him and your relationship.
That's right. So my sponsor, David Rayner, he's my compassion dad, my American dad. I like to refer to him as my American dad. During the time of the sponsorship, the letters that he sent to me, encouraging me, expressing love for me, motivating me, and telling me how much God loved me and what a great plans God had for me, had the biggest positive impact and influence in my early and teenage years. In those letters was where the expression, "I love you," was for the very first time addressed to me. They taught me about the plans that God had for me, that my destiny was not supposed to be the extreme poverty that surrounded me, but that God had great plans for me, and that I just needed to trust and to depend on him and to rely on him and obey him to see what were the plans that he had for me. The impact of that has been so positive that still today I treasure those letters. And every now and then I still pull them out and I read them because of how much they meant to me. So after I ended the program, I kept looking for my sponsor, David, for nearly 15 years. And I will find many David Rayners, but I didn't know which one was him. So finally, last April, I was able to find him. Wow. And we were talking for many months. In December of last year,
The both of us spent an entire weekend together in Florida, where we met one another, his family, my family, and it was the time of our lives. We celebrated by spending that weekend together, the week of Christmas. We went to Universal Studios, and we went to NASA's Kennedy Space Center. He's a great man, still got a lot of love for me. We have a great relationship today. We communicate constantly. Just this morning, I was texting him and telling him, I'm praying for you, be well. I'm going to be sharing our story again. So pray that God uses our story once again to touch hearts and motivate others to do what you did for me one time.
All of that through years of writing letters. I mean, that's really as simple and yet profound as it was. And of course, receiving all the support that Compassion gave you financially as well. What all did, how did the what is it, $38, correct? That's all it is. And how did that help impact your life as well? How did it, I guess, make the love that David talked about real in your life?
So, to put it into perspective, my chances of even completing elementary school were only a fraction compared to the prospects of me being forced into child labor and eventually to become a victim of crime. But Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future." Instead, with the sponsorship, instead of me heading into the landfill to dig up scrap metal and to dodge bulldozers, I was placed in the classroom safely to be educated, to learn how to read and write. Instead of being trained as a young criminal in the streets on how to defraud people, on how to steal, or maybe just to be a beggar, I was learning about God's love and God's compassion and how he sent his only son to die on the cross so we all could go to heaven if we accepted him. I could probably spend a fair amount of time telling you the many other ways that the Compassion sponsorship my life, and you'll come up short in guessing the ways that it did, but there are two that I really want to highlight, and I hope that you remember. Number one is, it provided me with a good quality of education while keeping me healthy and nourished with all the necessary books and supplies that I needed to successfully graduate from high school and be set the path for me to be the first one in my family to ever attend and graduate from college. And number two, and the most important one, it trained me to be a disciple of Jesus. It prepared me to serve the Lord and to go out and make other disciples, to be a faithful servant to the Lord. But not only me, it did the same thing for many of my relatives. My mother, my father, my brother, my grandmother, and many other relatives in my life, and many other friends. So it created a very strong spiritual and Christian foundation being part of the program, because it was like having Sunday school every school day. The day started with a small devotional and prayers. By mid-morning, we will have a Bible lesson, and the day always ended with hymns. That's something that I could have not found a home, as my mother's, all of her time and energy was consumed by life stressors. So that's one part. The other part is, having an education enabled me to work for several multinational corporations in the Dominican Republic and to eventually relocate to the US to work for Fortune 500 companies, which not only allow me to provide a better life for myself, my family, wife, and children, but also to significantly improve the living conditions of many of my relatives in the Dominican Republic. And that is something I could have not done without education. So I think if I summarize it and I put it in a little package for you, I will say that without this sponsorship, I have very, very little chances of ever overcoming extreme poverty. And very small possibilities of being able to learn and grow in Christ to become a faithful servant to the Lord.
That's incredible. And one of the things that I was struck with last night when we were talking is just how, for you life today, how you have wanted to give back and use the opportunities that you have to share and to tell others about Christ. I'm curious if you wouldn't mind just sharing what the story about, what has it been like to share your story within even your company? If you don't mind sharing a little bit about that.
One of the greatest blessings I have received was from God to be able to allow me and find a way of sharing my story in the corporation that I work for. It's a secular corporation, a very progressive, very different values than the conservative values that we are comfortable with. And for many months, they rejected the idea of me sharing with other employees my story of I was a child in the Dominican Republic with very little hope, but because of this Christian ministry and the generosity of a person that accepted God's call to sponsor me, my life changed. They said, that's all great, it's a great story, but we don't want the Christian part of it in it for obvious reasons. I persisted and persisted, and eventually I was given several opportunities to talk to executives, and they liked the story. And I was given another opportunity to talk to the people that will make the ultimate decision, HR executives, corporate legal counsel, and corporate communications people. And one of them started to say, well, yeah, it's a great story, but unfortunately we can't do it because of the religious component of it. Immediately an HR executive said, no, absolutely not. We actually can. I happen to be a sponsor of Compassion, and my church has gone to Dominican Republic on mission trips several times. We just don't need to heavily promote the religious aspect of it, but it is okay for us to say that this is a Christian ministry. It's a church-based organization, and we're okay. So they wrote a nice story about me, and it was broadcasted to over 200,000 employees inside the company, and many of those were moved by it, and they sponsored children as a result of it. So one of the greatest moments of my life. Not because of me, because I never want to attract attention to me, but for God to be able to show his love and his compassion and use people to continue sponsoring these children and make disciples of them.
Yes, and I just loved you used the word persistent, which I love so much, the persistence it sometimes takes. I know sometimes for myself, when a door gets shut maybe one time, I think, okay, that's it. But I love how you were persistent in believing in this thing that God had done for you and what he wanted to do for others. And so I just admire that so much about you, and just the idea that when your sponsor picked up your card and said, I want to contribute to this young child's life, just the incredible ways in which that has flowed out to so many other people that even beyond what he could imagine. And isn't that what God does so often? We think it's something small, but God can turn something small into something so mighty. So I just love that. About your story. So tell us, as we kind of wrap it up here, what's your life like now? Are you still involved in Compassion? Of course, we know you're here today. So just tell us a little bit about life for you today.
Absolutely. So, not in my wildest imagination, I could have ever even dreamed about the life that I have today. I have been abundantly blessed with a wonderful family. God loving and fearing wife, beautiful, by the way, very beautiful. You should see her over there. That's her right next to me, the cutie. And five beautiful children. It's a good start, right? Five children. I mean, we have to grow the church, and that's one way that we grow the church. So we encourage
okay, please
that.
Don't say that. I'm, yeah, no.
Yes, and we devote all the time and energy that we can to raise our children in God's Word, to train them to be faithful servants to the Lord and make them disciples of Jesus Christ. We serve our community in various causes in need with our time, with our talents and our treasures, even sacrificially at times. We serve Compassion tremendously. We do a lot of volunteering hours for them throughout DFW and other parts. And I also do speaking engagement like this one, where I try to help Compassion in its ministry to help release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. I think last year I did over 120 hours of volunteering time for Compassion, and I engaged many of my teammates at work so they could come and do the same, and also sponsor children. And I was able to get Compassion grants for the number of hours that I volunteer. I serve other organizations as well. In addition to the volunteering, I sponsor a child in El Salvador. His name is David, just like my son David. And you remember what my sponsor name is, David, so you can figure out where that is coming from. There's a lot of appreciation for the name David. And I also sponsor a girl from the Dominican Republic. Her name is Maria. We are trying to do to them exactly what was done to me, understanding the importance of these letters, that with every one of these letters, we are helping them to become disciples of Christ. We are helping them to change the mindset of poverty, and we are giving them love through letters and make them disciples. So that's a lot of fun, but there are parts of my life that are not very fun. I have a job. So I work for a financial institution where I am in charge of overseeing change management for the department, as well as the department's portfolio of projects.
Wow. It's just amazing to hear your story and to hear where you are. And I know your family, you're still so devoted to your family and to your siblings. And one other thing I was just thinking about from last night, too, is yesterday was your brother's birthday. We got to sing last night, which was really exciting. And he just recently made it to the U.S., correct?
Yes. So I have been, by the grace of God, I have been in this wonderful country, which now I call my country as well, for the last 20 years. And upon becoming a U.S. citizen, one of the privileges was that I could sponsor relatives, close relatives, to join me in the U.S. And I did that for my mother, and that the process was pretty quick. In less than 2 years, she relocated and has been living near me since then. But at the same time, I petitioned for her. I petitioned for my brother. The laws are a little different when it comes to siblings. So in order to do it the legal way, he had to wait 15 years to be able to get here. And after many thousands of dollars in fees and many other things, finally last year he received his visa and was approved, and he has established himself near my community. Now, yesterday was his birthday, and we sang happy birthday to him. I sent him the voice, the recording. He was extremely happy. He just texted me back, and he said, "This is a wonderful way for me to wrap up my birthday celebration."
We're praising God with you. We know how that has got to feel good, and so we just want to celebrate with you as a congregation the fact that you're back with your brother and just your entire journey. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us as we kind of wrap up our time together?
Yes, absolutely. So I stand here today in front of you as a testimony that a Compassion sponsorship truly works. It just works. It did for me exactly what it intended to do. And even more than that, it released me from poverty and it trained me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. My prayer and hope today is that after you have seen what happens when a child is sponsored through Compassion, God touches your heart and you decide to sponsor a child yourself. $38 is probably a sacrifice that many of us can do by just making adjustments here and there. It is an excellent way to fulfill the Great Commission. When my sponsor sponsored me, at the time he didn't realize that he was sponsoring also my 5 children and the 2 children that I sponsor now. So the impact of a sponsorship exponentially multiplies. I ask you, become a sponsor today, make a disciple. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Thank you, Brochelle Cumberland, for giving me this opportunity to share my story. I will be out there, and I would love to, although we can't shake hands, I would love to share a smile with you personally. Thank you for hearing to my story and answer any questions about compassion that you may still have.
Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come here. Thank your wife and kids for sharing you with us, and we're so glad you're always part of our Brush Hill family, so we want you to know that. But thank you so much. Can we just like praise the Lord for a moment for how God works and God's goodness? God is so good, and I'm just so thankful that we have a Savior who loves us so much and who uses such seemingly small actions to create just profound life change and blessing. And it just fills me with such joy and honor to think about the different stories that he's writing, that he's making and creating. I think about my own sponsored kids from Colombia that I'm so excited to write to and to get to know even more. And I just want to encourage you all. How is it that God is asking you to make some sort of sacrifice to serve him in some way? What may seem small or large to you, I think we have no idea. As Christians, we're called to model the life of Christ, and one of those ways is through sacrifice. And it's just amazing to me that a small sacrifice like this can produce so much fruit from it. And so maybe this is what God is calling you to, or maybe God's calling you, maybe not to this right now, but maybe to share about this with someone else at work or school or wherever. Or maybe it's something else. Whatever it is, I just hope we take the next few moments as we get ready to sing our final hymn and as we think about and talk more with Edgar and our friends from Compassion, how God is calling you to take part in the ministry of Christ in sharing the good news with others, both near and perhaps far. But through all this, let us keep in mind the goodness and the grace of our Lord as we worship Him this morning.